Welcome to installment 285 of Sefer Mitzvot from the Rambam. Today's portion contains five commandments, all regarding a Jewish slave, an Eved Ivri. Positive commandment 232, the general law regarding this Jewish servant. Prohibition 257, that one is not allowed to give him a humiliating form of work. Prohibition 258, that one may not sell him as one would sell a non-Jewish slave. Prohibition 259, that one may not give him avedas perech, work to do when one does not really need it. And prohibition number 260, that should this Jewish servant have sold himself to a non-Jew, that one must not abandon him and leave him in the possession of this non-Jew. Positive commandment 232 is the general commandment regarding a Jewish slave. This, the Rambam tells us, is learned from the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, in chapter 21 of the book of Exodus, verse Beis, which begins, Ki sikne eved ivri, when one buys or purchases a Jewish slave. The whole concept of an eved ivri, a Jewish slave, is only possible under certain limited conditions. First, it only applies when the Jubilee year, the 50th year after seven Shemitah cycles, each of 7 years, is proclaimed. If the Yovel year, which has not been in effect since the destruction of the temple, if the Yovel year is not in effect, there is no possibility of making an Eved Ivri. Furthermore, there are only two cases a Jew can become a slave. One is when he himself has performed an act of robbery, he has stolen, and is required later, after being caught, to return the amount which he has stolen. Should he lack this money to repay this debt, the Jewish court, the Beis Din, sells him, is required to sell him into slavery in order that he should be able to pay back this debt, that he should earn enough money and be able to pay off for the money he has stolen. This is one condition. Another way that a person could become a Jewish slave is through his own choice, through choosing to sell himself. And even then, he is only allowed, should he have literally no money left in order to eat, should he even have clothing on his back, which he could trade in to buy food, he is forbidden from becoming a slave. He is not allowed to sell himself into slavery. However, should he do so, the sale is valid. But nevertheless, he should not do so. The Rambam tells us that the main laws governing the treatment of a Jewish slave are explained explicitly in the verses, as great detail is given in Parshas Mishpatim about the conditions upon which this slave can be released, and so on and so forth. Such as, in general, the slave can only be sold for a 6-year period. At the end of this 6 years, he automatically goes free. And should the Jubilee year come in the middle of those 6 years, he also goes free at the Jubilee year. There are other laws also we will be discussing in the next few days regarding the other commandments concerning avodim, concerning slaves. In the Talmud, this commandment is discussed in the beginning of Tractate Kiddushin. The first of the four commandments, prohibitions relating to treatment of the slave, is Prohibition 257. And this is the prohibition from forcing the slave to do shameful sorts of work. As the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 39 states, Leisavid bei avedus oved, do not make him do the work of a regular slave. A regular slave referring to a non-Jewish slave, an eved kanani. And even sorts of work which are shameful and degrading, which one is allowed to force a non-Jewish slave to do, is forbidden to be applied to a Jewish slave. As examples are given in the Sifra, the Rambam quotes that one is not allowed to force the slave to carry your linta, and you also cannot force him to carry your clothing to the bathhouse, which these are considered to be degrading sorts of jobs. What is a linta? A linta is a type of small mat which is used to sit upon after one has become fatigued. And since the person would become fatigued someplace far away from where he normally would be, it had to be carried along with the master. Forcing a Jewish slave to carry such a mat is prohibited, since this was seen as a degrading sort of position. And so too, any other sort of similar job is forbidden to be applied to a Jewish slave. One is only allowed to give him those sorts of jobs which a regular worker would do. As the next verse states, verse 40, Kasachir Kaseshav Yiyeh Imach, that he should be just like an employed worker. Anything that a regular employee would do, he could be forced to do. But things which a regular employee would not do, he cannot be forced to do. The Rambam does state, however, if somebody wishes specifically to be employed, not to become a slave, but to be employed to do these degrading sorts of jobs, one is allowed to do so since he's doing it by his free will totally. But somebody who has become a slave, it looks upon himself as very lowly, and therefore we cannot lower his position even more so by forcing him to do these degrading acts. Prohibition 258 is in a way similar. This discusses the manner in which the slave is to be sold and to be bought. The prohibition is that one is not allowed to sell him as one would normally sell a slave. As the Rambam quotes the Sifra, that one is not allowed to put him up on a stand and to build a stand and to put him up on the selling stone, which is the normal way of selling non-Jewish slaves in those days. There would be a stone and there would be an auction held. And one would announce that the person is being sold. And that was the normal way of selling a non-Jewish slave. A Jewish slave could not be sold in the same way. It had to be done quietly and in an honorable fashion, either when the person does it himself or when the Jewish court sells him. And this is also learned from the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, and this verse 42, which states, Lo yimochru min keres oved. Do not sell him as a slave is normally sold. The Rambam reminds him of a statement he made earlier in prohibition number 243 regarding kidnapping. The Rambam there said that a kidnapper also gets this sin as well, that since he has stolen somebody, kidnapped them, he gets one sin. In addition, when he sells them, he gets another. And the prohibition for selling a kidnapped person is this prohibition. One is not allowed to sell him as a regular slave. And as the Rambam explained there, that the penalty for this is death. It's explained in the book of Exodus, chapter 21, verse 15. The details of this law are explained again in the first chapter of Kiddushin, as the previous law, prohibition 257. The last two prohibitions, number 259 and 260, deal with a certain type of work which one asks this Jewish slave to do, known as avedas perech, difficult work. What is avedas perech? This is not a back-breaking work or something particularly difficult. This the Sifra defines that one cannot ask this Jewish slave to do an act which you don't really need. You're not allowed to ask him to do something simply that he should not sit idly. You cannot ask him to do anything unless you really need it done. And in this case, it's your intention which matters, not how difficult the job is. As the Sifra gives the example, you cannot ask him to heat up a cup of water for you unless you need it. And even though the Rambam points out that even though this is a very simple job to do, and it's very easy. The Sifra brings you this example, that even such a simple and easy act, you are prohibited from asking this slave to do, unless you yourself need it. And certainly more difficult acts and more complex acts, certainly you are forbidden from asking the Jewish slave to do these. This prohibition is learned from the same chapter, verse 43, which states, Lo sir de bei befarech, that you cannot oppress him with difficult work. And again, the difficult work here is difficult because it's useless work. It has no purpose to it. The person does not need this done at all. It's just to keep him busy. And as the Rambam explains in his legal code, under this category is also work which has no specific end. You cannot just tell a person, for example, weed out the garden, and I'll tell you when to stop. It has to have some sort of defined parameter. He must know when to stop, either continue this job until you finish, or continue until a certain time, but just to have him work, not knowing when he will stop working, is also prohibited under this same prohibition 259. Prohibition number 260 is closely related to this last prohibition. And this deals with any sort of work. And even this avodas perech, this needless work, which is prohibited to impose upon any servant, is also prohibited even to allow a non-Jew to do to this Jewish slave. As we mentioned previously, the only cases a Jewish slave could be sold is by a Jewish court, or if the person himself decides to sell himself. However, neither the court nor the person himself is allowed to sell him to a non-Jew, only to a Jewish person. However, if the person decides to go against the commandment of the Torah and nevertheless sell himself as a slave to a non-Jew, the sale is still a valid sale. He did a prohibition by selling himself, but nevertheless he is considered sold. And we are commanded in the book of Leviticus 25, verse 53, Lo yirdenu beferech leinecha. He must not be oppressed with this difficult work in front of you. Which means to say that if he has been sold to a non-Jew, then we should not say that, look, this person himself sinned. He shouldn't have sold himself to a non-Jew. So why should we save him? He put himself in this situation. This prohibition tells us we should not think like that, but we should prevent the non-Jew from applying this kind of work to him. And even a avodas perech, a needless work, even if it's a very insignificant and easy job, must not be imposed upon the Jewish slave. However, the Sifra points out, and the Rambam quotes, that this only applies when you become aware of the situation. As the Sifra says, the verse says you should not allow him to be oppressed with difficult work, le'enecha, in front of your eyes. Which means, when does the commandment apply? Only when you see that it's happening, when it's visible to your eyes. That you're not obligated to search out into the house of the non-Jew to determine whether he is mistreating the Jewish slave or not. Rather, if you happen to become aware of it, then you are required to do what you can to prevent this mistreatment from taking place. However, if you are not aware of it, then you have no obligation and no prohibition according to the law. We see from all these laws that a Jewish slave is not really treated as a slave. As the Rambam tells us in his legal code, that one is not allowed to treat him any less than you treat yourself. You must feed him the same food. If you feed yourself good bread, you must give him the same type of bread. He must sleep in the same place as you, and the same type of bed, and may not be treated in an inferior manner in any way, shape, or form. Why is there this prohibition against treating a Jew really as a slave? If he sold himself into slavery, or the Jewish court sold him into slavery, why shouldn't he be treated accordingly? Rav Shimon says in the Mechilta, and Rashi quotes in the Chumash, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. Hashem says that the Jewish people are my servants. They're my servants, and they're not servants of other servants. Since every Jew is my servant, and the whole world has to serve me, why should he become a servant for someone else? He has to serve me directly. And so too a person must not serve his physical desires. He must realize that the physical world, as well as he himself, were all created to serve Hashem. And they all must become servants to Hashem, not that we should become servants to our desires. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.